sit around and sing some old sad song. I believe it's half full, not a half empty glass. Every day I wake up knowing it could be my last. I ain't here for a long time, I'm here for a good time. So bring on the sunshine, the hell with the red wine, pour me some moonshine. What they'd like to do, but I like to do just what I like. I'll take the chance, dance the dance. It might be wrong, but then again it might be right. There's no way of knowing what tomorrow brings. Life's too short to waste it. I say bring on anything. I ain't here for a long time, I'm here for a good time. So bring on the sunshine, the hell with the red wine, pour me some moonshine. When I'm gone, put it in stone.
To pumpkin spice things up a little bit more with more country.
92.7 KZHC.
When I got the news today, I didn't know what to say, so I just hung up the phone. I took a walk to clear my head, and this is where the walk-in led. Can't believe you're really gone. Don't feel like going home, so I'm gonna sit right here on the edge of this pier and watch the sunset disappear. Drink a beer. Funny how the good ones go too soon, but the good Lord knows the reasons why, I guess. Sometimes a greater plan, it's kind of hard to understand. Right now it don't make sense. I can't make it all make sense. So I'm gonna sit right here on the edge of this pier and watch the sunset disappear. A beer. So long, my friend, until we meet again. I'll remember you and all the times that we sit right here. here on the edge of this pier and watch the sunset disappear. And drink a beer. Drink a beer. Drink a beer. Yeah.
Meet our local community folks making a difference here in Harney County. Join Mindy Gould in studio right now. It's Harney County Live, right here on 92.7 KZHC.
Good morning and welcome and happy Wednesday, and thanks for tuning in to 92.7 KZHC for Harney County Live. I'm Mindy Gould, and my guests this morning are Dave Banks and Brandon Haslick. Dave is with ODFW, and Brandon is with the Paiute Tribe, and this is part two to our show from yesterday in regards to the brook trout control up on Upper Lake Creek and High Lake. Quickly, let's do a little recap of what was discussed yesterday about why you're doing it, what you're trying to save, and stuff like that.
All right. So yesterday we talked about the brook trout. They're an introduced species here in the West. They come from the eastern United States, and they have some problems for listed species, bull trout, that occur in the upper Malheur system. And there's been various ways that we've tried to control them using mechanical removal through nets or electrofishing, and that hasn't been working. And so now we're moving on to using a piscicide, a chemical to remove fish. And so we're just trying to get the information out there. Mm-hmm.
And the pesticide that you guys are talking about, it's not pesticide, but it's, what did you call it?
It's a piscicide, which means it's specifically, it's targeted towards fish, although it kills anything with a gill. And so it's called rotenone. It's something that's been in use in fisheries management for decades. It's been registered. It's a registered use pesticide through the EPA. You have to have a pesticide applicator's license to purchase it and apply it.
Well, and what was like intriguing to me yesterday is when you guys both said that rotenone is derivative from a bean.
Yep. It's natural. Native peoples in Southeast Asia and South America have been using this for thousands of years. They get the root, they kind of mash it up, shake it into the water, and it kills fish, and they pick them up and they eat them. So,
yeah. And you know, we want to make sure that, that people are aware that we're cognizant of that, you know, it doesn't specifically target fish. I mean, we will have some macro, they're called aquatic macroinvertebrate, that will also succumb to the piscicide. But we're monitoring all of this stuff. And like Dave said yesterday, there are so many studies out there that show, you know, pretty rapid recovery of and recolonization of all of the macroinvertebrates and amphibian species and things like that. So we're going to monitor all that and make sure it does come back.
And the other intriguing thing that caught my attention with this rotenone stuff is how quickly things do recover. I mean, you put it on the water and literally within just a matter of days, you can introduce new species back into the water.
You could, as long as it's reduced below that concentration that will affect aquatic organisms. And so we'll be monitoring that through some water quality sampling as well. One, it lets us know when it's safe to put stuff in to start restocking the fishery. And the other, it just lets us know when the concentrations of rotenone that were out there at certain points in time. And that just helps us monitor when it's on and detectable in the landscape and when it isn't, which is useful if people come and say, hey, we saw this effect, we think it's rotenone, we can say, oh, maybe you're right, or no, we've done our monitoring, here's from the lab, this is what it shows, that there was no detectable rotenone at this point in time.
Now, with like High Lake and then the Upper Lake Creek, How big are they exactly? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, yeah. So High Lake is about 5.8 acres, and the average depth is about 9 feet. So it's not a large water body by any measure, but you know, it's still a decent you know,
body of water.
Right,
yeah.
Right, yeah. And then Upper Lake Creek is 1.7 miles to that impassable barrier to Lake Creek Falls. And so that's kind of the size of the treatment area. So
yeah, and I'll just chime in. So the tribe, Burns Paiute Tribe, has been out there. They've taken some measurements, flow measurements, that help us with some of these calculations of how much Rotenone we would put in. And so that flows up near the lake or somewhere around a quarter of a CFS versus around Lake Creek Falls, around 2.5 CFS.
Yeah, so not a lot of water, honestly.
But like you said, Upper Lake Creek has got another body of water next to it, correct?
Right.
And if you treat the Upper Lake Creek with Rotenone, how are you going to detain just the Rotenone from one area versus going into another?
Right, yeah. Well, so the downstream, so Lower Lake Creek, well, kind of comes in with a little bit higher flow. So right at the point where we're going to be detoxing at the end of the treatment, again, Lake Creek Falls, that impassable barrier, we'll be detoxing there with something called potassium permanganate. And it just binds the Rotenone and basically just, you know, neutralizes the toxicity. And so so at that point, and then right below there, for you know, about an hour or so of travel time, it will be mixing and completely neutralizing. And we also have right around there some spring inputs, and also some really kind of unstable water flows, which is actually beneficial for the mixing process. So we anticipate that, you know, we'll be able to neutralize it pretty effectively right at that point. So
that's very interesting.
And also, along with the neutralization, one way that we kind of use real time to kind of test, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, was we put fish in cages, think of minnow traps, but they can't get out. And so you use those like a canary in the coal mine. And so you can detect, is there still Rotenone in the water that's killing them? If they survive for 24 hours, it's below a level that's, you know, there's no Rotenone in there that's going to affect aquatic organisms anymore. So on top of neutralizing it, we're kind of monitoring that way along with the water quality samples.
Interesting. So like replacement, you get rid of all of these brook trout, or that's the plan. You get rid of all the brook trout, are you just going to have an empty lake? I mean, what are you going to replace them with? And what's the process with that?
No, we don't intend to do that. We've talked about that from the start. We know it's a popular fishery for folks to go there and catch fish. And so we know if we left it empty, probably somebody would help us put something else back in there. So so we just can't, that's not an option to leave it empty. So what we plan to put in there is a sterile rainbow trout. And so these are sometimes referred to as triploid rainbow trout. Basically, they can't reproduce. And the advantage of that is that we can control how many are in there. And as we monitor over the, you know, 3 to 5 years, we'll probably be able to dial it in. But we're hoping to provide a quality fishery where you can catch larger fish in High Lake. But there just may not be as many. So it may not be quite as easy, fast and furious catching, but hopefully the quality makes up for that.
Yeah, I mean, on the face of it, the brook trout fishery that's currently there is really in an unhealthy state anyways. I mean, the fish there are so numerous that they're basically out competing themselves, and they're really, really skinny, and their growth is stunted. So when we introduce this new fishery, you know, rainbow trout are native to the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't have any of those, you know, negative impacts on the bull trout and native fish, you know, downstream that we're seeing with the brook trout. So it's really going to be a win-win for both the public with a better fishery and the ecosystem down there. So
if it's a sterile rainbow trout that you guys are going to be introducing in there, does that mean that you're going to have to restock it every single year then?
Yeah. And our plan is, to try and get some bigger fish in there initially to start, but once we're successful, we'll probably introduce fingerlings, which are going at a size of 3 to 4 inches. You can easily backpack those in, quite a few. It doesn't take that long. We do it other places, and it works quite well.
And why sterile rainbow trout versus, you know, ones that can repopulate themselves?
Because that way we can control how many are in the lake. So but that stocking action acts as like reproduction or birth, you know, and so we can control how many go into the lake. And then as we monitor, you know, we can monitor growth and condition, and we monitor survival and mortality, and we can tweak those numbers to see, you know, to where we get maximum growth and survival out of those with minimal mortality. So
perfect. Well, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
Country roads take me home to the desert. I belong, Harney County, Eastern Oregon. Take me home, country roads. The Fuel Commander Network has a fuel for your country road. Let us take you home. Ed Stobbinson's Energy Community Service.
Have your chimney flue or wood stovepipe cleaned and checked before the season. Make sure you have a fire extinguisher and install smoke detectors on every floor of your home. And make sure carbon monoxide detectors are installed 10 feet or less from every doorway. Don't forget to test your alarms and change their batteries regularly. Pick a yearly date, like a birthday or anniversary, or even on daylight savings to check your alarms. This public safety notice is from Harney County Emergency Management.
Harney District Hospital continues to ask that all patients and approved visitors wear a face covering when they come to the hospital and clinics. Patients who have had cold or flu-like symptoms within the past 14 days should continue to call HDH Family Care at 541-573-2074 to identify the safest way to receive care before arriving at the hospital or clinics. After hours, call the hospital at 541-573-7281 and press 6 for nursing advice.
Now back to the good stuff. Harney County Live, here on the new 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. My guests this morning are Dave Banks with ODFW and Brandon Haslick with the Burns Paiute Tribe. So right before we went to break, talking about the different fish and the quality and the health and all that kind of stuff. And you wanted to bring up a point as well, Brandon, in regards to a drainage.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to address the concern that, you know, it's because we've been talking a little bit about, yeah, brook trout are in the Mall here. They've kind of populated a lot of the tributaries around there. So is this a lost cause? But I wanted to kind of, introduce the counterpoint to that. And that the neighboring stream, which is just over the hill, is Meadow Fork, called Meadow Fork of Big Creek, and over there, it's a really good example of a very healthy system. So there, you know, where we've in Lake Creek, where we're talking about, you know, removing all these brook trout, and still having to deal with the issue of them outnumbering native fish and bull trout by 20-1. It's completely the opposite story in Meadow Fork Big Creek. The native fish and bull trout outnumber the brook trout, and really just in terms of, you know, the out competing, they're able to really hold their ground in that system. And the main difference between the two is just that there is no upstream population of brook trout. There is no lake in the upper headwaters area of that stream corridor that's, you know, bringing this constant influx of brook trout downstream. And so, you know, that being the main difference, you know, if we're able to go into Lake Creek and knock out that population of brook trout, we really think we're going to be able to see a lot of the benefits and move this system into one that's much closer to that neighboring stream system if we're able to do this project.
Now, this cannot be the only area, bodies of water, that have this brook trout issue. There's got to be more. My thinking, you know, you would think that there's more. So is this kind of like a test site to future areas, or are you seeing issues in other areas?
There's definitely brook trout, bull trout interactions in other areas. And the one I'm most familiar with is down in the Klamath area. There's some streams on the west side of Upper Klamath Lake and Agency Lake that my counterparts down there have done some rotenone treatments to remove brook trout in those systems and reestablish bull trout. And it's worked successfully there as well. So it's definitely issues lots of places throughout the West, or at least the Upper West. You have bull trout in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and even a little bit in Nevada, just a sliver. But yeah, brook trout and bull trout issues is an issue in a lot of these places.
Well, and are there other bodies of water here just in Harney County that are having issues?
Well, so our focal area is in the Mel here. I mean, Dave could probably speak to whether there are other major fisheries concerns in the Harney Basin itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the one place that we know we have brook trout is Fish Lake down in the Steens. Mm-hmm. They seem to be doing fine there. For whatever reason, we don't see them persisting or escaping out of that system and causing problems in the Blitzen.
Oh.
Other places, we just don't see them a lot in other streams, Silver Creek, Sylvie's, some of these streams, Pine Creek.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't see them there. The other interesting, so we've been talking mostly about, you know, the Logan Valley, the upper Mount here, but you have a neighboring system that's also has bull trout in the North Fork Mount here, and it doesn't have brook trout. So another system that doesn't have brook trout, and they do really well in there. And so in that system, they go down to Beulah Reservoir over winter there. It gets too warm. They go upstream and they summer up in upper North Fork area. And so they're doing just fine in that system.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That is interesting. So let's speak logistics. What is like the time frame? I mean, is this going to be completely closed down to people when you guys are doing this, you know, stuff like that?
Yeah, so the project will be implemented if there's still some hoops and stuff to jump through, but there's nothing that prevents us from moving forward. We'll be looking to implement in July, about mid-July this year. And during that time frame, it will be closed down. It is Forest Service property. They're the landowners, so we're working with them to have some minor closures. So from Road's End, if people are familiar with that location as you're headed up to High Lake, that'll be closed off, as well as trails will be closed off, and there'll be signage there. And so, you know, we'll get information out in newspapers, through the radio, trying to make people aware, and there'll be stuff at those locations. And so they'll just be closed for the implementation of the project, and then for a safety period after. And it just, the safety period just depends on how quickly rotenone dissipates. And so that could be anywhere from 2 days to maybe 14 days, 2 weeks. So short term, but we're doing it for public safety, just to make sure that that's not an issue for the public.
Okay.
Yeah, and even, you know, I mean, we obviously want to keep the public safe. You know, the toxicity levels of rotenone aren't really necessarily the issue, but it's more just, you know, this is a major project that kind of has a lot of things that need to kind of line up, and we just, you know.
Easier to do it without.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're going to, so for the actual application in the lake, we're going to be using the helicopter to apply it. And so it's just a lot easier and, you know, just increases our chances of success if we're just kind of able to focus in on the project and get in there and then get it cleaned up and get out of there as soon as we can, so that we can, you know, allow the public back in.
So you guys get clear readings. Let's use day 13, for example. Everything's clear. Everything's good. So then when would you be implementing new fish into the water?
So we plan to do this 2 years in a row, so it would have a year potentially that's there's no fish in the water. That's be based on monitoring. We'll be using something called eDNA. You capture the DNA that shed off the fish. Mm-hmm. Just like us, our skin cells kind of are everywhere. If somebody took a swab around mm-hmm. the radio station, they'd find all of our DNA in mm-hmm. here. Same thing you can do. It's a method that's pretty reliable to detect fish. We'll also be using some of those mechanical methods to detect if we are successful. But we plan for 2 years because we've seen in places where projects have just been done 1 year and then they're like, yeah, we think we got them. A lot of times they missed them somewhere, and 5-6 years down the road, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I guess we didn't get them everywhere. So we plan for 2 years. We hope that we're successful in just 1 year.
And to reiterate mm-hmm. to people, just because you say 2 years, that means no fish for 2 years. It will be open mm-hmm. for people to go up there, but there just won't be any fish to fish for 2 years.
Yeah, potentially, you know, say it took that 2 year time frame, so we'd do a project July of 23, July of 24. And potentially, if it was clear, we could think about stocking fish in August or September of mm-hmm. 24, but the biological constraint might be, it might not be have enough fat to persist through the winter. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to think about some things that the way. So it might not be till early summer of 25 that we would get fish in there.
Yeah. And the important thing for us is that we just want to get it right. Like, we want to do this once and then have it finished and have it yeah. done the right way so that we don't have to keep messing around up in that area of High Lake. We just want to, you know, fix the problem and then, you know, move on with life and
start another project.
yeah. Potentially, you know, if this is successful, like you said, our goal is to help bull trout in the whole upper Malheur. This is kind of our first project. Like I said, we picked it because the lake is the seed source. And mm-hmm. So if we get that and it's successful, we'll probably have other areas that we'll move into in the future. And we'll be back talking about those.
Definitely. Well, we need to take another quick break from our sponsors. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. The City of Hinds is gearing up for the 2023 Obsidian Days. Obsidian Days is the city's annual fundraiser for the Hinds Volunteer Fire Department. Spots are filling up fast, so grab one while you can. If you're interested in a space to sell or show off your items, there are spaces available in the North Park. Please contact City of Hinds City Hall at 573-2251. That's 573-2251. The City of Hinds Obsidian Days will run June 9th through the 11th, 2023.
You don't have to be a doctor, nurse, or medical professional to work at Harney District Hospital. The hospital employs numerous clerks, assistants, cooks, environmental service workers, and more. In addition to competitive wages, all full and part-time positions offer retirement options, as well as medical, dental, vision, life, and emergency air transportation insurance. Join the hospital team today. Find job listings online at jobs.harneydh.com. That's jobs.harneydh.com.
Do you want a career change? Are you, your family member, friend, relative, or that pesky son-in-law need a job that provides a valuable service and contributes to your community? Want to learn a new trade like HVAC or obtain your CDL while being paid on the job? Graduating and looking to have your schooling paid for to learn a vocation? Interested in construction, engine mechanics, welding, plumbing, HVAC, delivery, driving, customer relations, sales, propane, IT, or even food service? We don't just have jobs, we have a way of life. Positions across Oregon, Northern California, and Idaho. Give us a call or check out our website at edsnob.com. Energy, community, service.
Don't worry, we didn't forget about you. Now back to Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. My guests this morning are Dave Banks with ODFW and Brandon Heslick with the Burns Paiute, and we're talking about the bull trout and brook trout. Well, brook trout control taking over the bull trout. You guys brought up during the commercial break about NEPA, What is, I probably just butchered that, but can you explain a little bit about what that is?
No, yeah. So we want to, you know, assure everyone that we are going through all the proper channels, the regulatory channels that we need to in order to do a project like this. So it does exist in wilderness. So there's a special process for that through the Forest Service. We've gone through that process, but there's also a larger environmental law called NEPA. It stands for the National Environmental Policy Act, and what it does is it basically it's a process to allow federal agencies to basically, you know, categorize the effects of their projects on you know, it really takes into account everything, the public, the environmental ecosystem that you're working in. And it allows the agencies to basically analyze their projects for effect on the environment. And we've gone through that process. I'm bringing it up so that if people would like to, you know, provide input to the process, there's a public comment are always accepted in this process. So if you go to the Federal Register website, you should be able to find the project. I'm not sure it's on there yet, but it will be soon if it's not, and you can provide your public comments and anything that you want to provide to the process.
Right, and I think you have some information you posted on.
Correct.
That we gave you, so
yes.
When that comes out, we could probably provide that to you.
Yes, elkhornmediagroup.com, myeasternoregon.com. We've got, yes, the whole letter that states, you know, who, what, where, when, how, why, all of that stuff, and then contact information as well, and it's also on our Facebook pages as well. But, I mean, other than that, if there's people that are not web savvy, you know, because a lot of people, they don't have the internet or, you know, how else have you been able to get the word out about this throughout Harney County for people to have public comments if they do?
So we've posted that same thing. We were just talking about that flyer. It's hanging around some of the common places people hang flyers to get the information out. Like you said, who, what, where, when, why. Kind of a summary of what we've been talking about the past 2 days. You can always call me, Dave Banks, at ODFW 541-573-6582, and we can chat about it. As the notice comes out, I'm sure there'll be a notice in the paper as well, not only here, but probably up in John Day as well.
Yes, because this does affect the John Day area as well. Right. And, excuse me, you were actually going to be on Coffee Time with Logan.
Yep.
Coming up as well.
Yep, on the 15th and the 21st.
Yes.
Yeah, and the tribe also has a website. It's called helpnativefish.org. We've recently put a lot more information about this project on that website. So if you are interested in learning more, you know, we've got the flyers out there, but you could also check the website helpnativefish.org.
And you guys did also hold a public meeting type thing, and you've gone to, you went, where else did you, you
well,
went
we've done
night.
One here at the community center a couple weeks ago, and then same time the next day we were up in John Day at the airport and talked to those folks up there. We've been talking to both Harney County and Grant County Natural Resource Advisory Committee members, and so last night I was at the NRAC meeting for Harney County and provided an update on our outreach efforts. And so we're just trying to keep not only the NRACs, but through that it gets reported up to the county court. So we're just trying to make sure that not only the general public, but also some of these groups and public or political entities within the county were keeping apprised of what's going on as well.
Wonderful. Well, we are out of time. We just have a couple of minutes left. Anything else you guys want to throw out there for anybody in regards to this? Crickets.
I hope we've been able to kind of, you know, provide a pretty good summary of this project. We're really excited about it. A lot has gone into it. We've been planning this for so many years, and it's going to be a pretty expensive project. So, you know, we're really banking on this being a great success for both, you know, ODFW and the Burns Paiute tribe. So,
yeah, and for bull trout.
Yes, yeah. And for bull trout. Save the bull trout. Well, thank you so much again for coming on for a second day in a row, part two, and informing the whole community about your guys' plans this summer.
Hey, thanks,
yeah.
Mindy.
Yeah, thank you. It was nice talking with you.
And thanks for listening to Harney County Live. Have a wonderful day, and I will chat with you all tomorrow.
That's another edition of Harney County Live, every weekday morning on 92.7 KZHZ.
Harney District Hospital continues to ask that all patients and approved visitors wear a face covering when they come to the hospital and clinics. Patients who have had cold or flu-like symptoms within the past 14 days should continue to call HDH Family Care at 541-573-2074 to identify the safest way to receive care before arriving at the hospital or clinics. After hours, call the hospital at 541-573-7281 and press 6 for nursing advice.
Dad, since you work at Ed's Dom & Sons, can't you make fuel prices go down?
Well, honey, it's not that easy. At Ed's Dom & Sons, we try to keep prices as low as we can.
Then why is everyone still talking about high gas prices?
Because they are. Fuel and oil are global commodities, so things that happen in what seem like faraway places make a difference in our prices here at home.
And you have all those trucks everywhere.
That's right. We have transportation costs to get it to the customers. And we have taxes, regulations,
physical... Oh, Dad, I'm not getting you started on that.
Oh, okay. Ed's Dom & Sons.
Energy Community Service.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
92.7 KZH.